Thank you very much, Madam Chairperson. Good morning, colleagues. Good afternoon to the delegation in Macau, China, and also to representatives here with us in the room. Today, I will be tackling issues number 9 and number 15. So turning first to issue number 9, which concerns refugees and asylum seekers, I appreciate information on the provision of assistance measures to refugee status applicants and their families in accordance with Law 1/2004 on the legal framework on the recognition and loss of refugee status. But I still wish to inquire about the following issues. Could the delegation please clarify the status of the two pending applications for refugee status awaiting a decision for over a decade, which seems to be inconsistent with the legal framework and procedures set out in Macau refugee law? What causes such excessive delays, and what steps have been undertaken to expedite these processes and avoid repetition of similar situations in the future? Also note the information that the Social Welfare Bureau has been providing humanitarian support services to the applicants and their families, and that the Bureau regularly reports to the Commission for Refugees. In light of this information, could the delegation please clarify what kind of humanitarian support services are provided to these two concrete families, in addition to accommodation and financial assistance? Have their rights of access to legal aid, health services, schooling for children, etc., been fully ensured throughout this waiting period? Given that until 2016, only 8 applications involving 13 persons for refugee status have been received and none granted, I wish to kindly ask the delegation to explain to the committee what were the reasons for their denial and provide us with statistics on the applications received and those granted until the date of this constructive dialogue. Moving now to issue number 15, which concerns criminalization of defamation. The committee noted in its general comment number 34, paragraph 47, and also repeatedly reiterated this in several dialogues with states parties, that defamation should not be criminalized and any form of criminalization should be reserved only for the most serious cases of defamation. In addition, imprisonment is never an appropriate penalty, even in the most serious cases. I'm concerned that Macau, China, has no intention of decriminalizing defamation, as was reported to us, and maintains imprisonment as a potential penalty in these instances. In addition, sources have reported that Macau police forces often threaten people exercising their right to freedom of expression with criminal consequences. I note all the explanations of the relevant provisions of the criminal code criminalizing insult and the penalties for the crime, including its aggravated form, as well as about the law on the use of and protection of the national flag, emblem, and anthem, which envisages imprisonment of up to 3 years or fine up to 360 days. Could the delegation please clarify whether Macau, China, would be willing to take any steps in accordance with an established position of this committee to decriminalize defamation, particularly defamation of public officials and insults to the national flag, emblem, and anthem, or at least repeal the sanction of imprisonment? Could the delegation please also provide us with the number of cases prosecuted on the basis of these crimes up to today, and concrete penalties for those found guilty? This information can also be provided in writing. I would also wish to hear a response to concerns that because the law does not provide for an exhaustive definition of an insult, it could be abused to unduly restrict expression of critical opinions and that the penalty is disproportional to the one applicable in mainland China. We have also received complaints that the criminal code unjustifiably differentiates between victims of the crime who are private citizens and need to bring a private prosecution at their own cost, and civil servants who are victims of defamation where the public prosecution can bring a charge at no cost for the victims. Could the delegation please explain what justifies such distinction? I also wish to know the information provided on the Civil Protection Law, which entered into force on 15th of September 2020 and established a crime against public security, order and peace in sudden public incidents, which is aimed at preventing dissemination of false information or rumors during disasters. Given that this law requires knowledge or intent for the crime to be confirmed, could the delegation please explain what standard of proof is required and provide data on how many individuals have been prosecuted so far on the basis of this criminal provision, and what were the outcomes of these prosecutions, including the penalties imposed? I would also wish to know what necessitated the arrest of two elderly persons in 2017 who shared on social media a rumor about the government covering up deaths in the aftermath of a natural disaster, and how are such actions compatible with rights of individuals under the Covenant, particularly under Article 19. And finally, does any legislation in Macau, China, provide for any protection of whistleblowers? I'm very much looking forward to any replies by the delegation, and I return the floor back to the Madam Chairperson. Thank you very much.